But let me ask you a question. Could Peter have actually been in Babylon? Doesn't the book of Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9 say Peter is the apostle to the Jews? Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Where were most of the Jews? They were still in Babylon. Well, why were they in Babylon? Because they had been there during the captivity, and many of them didn't come back. So wouldn't Babylon be a logical place for Peter to travel to? Josephus tells us this. He gave him a habitation of Babylon where there were Jews in great numbers. Josephus, a first century historian, tells us that there were Jews living in Babylon. Why couldn't Peter have traveled to Babylon, especially since he's the apostle to the who? To the Jews. So if Peter was actually in Babylon rather than Rome, what just disappeared? Your code theory just disappeared. He's not using Babylon as a code for Rome because he wasn't in Rome when he wrote that. He was in Babylon. Why can't I just take the Bible for what it says? Why can't I take it literally? People say, well, wasn't there a famine in Babylon? Here's what we read. Strabo, in his geography, who died in AD 25, is cited as proof that by this time no city was left. This is an instance of how easily lax quotations or assertions may falsify both an author and an issue, which being once done, other writers too easily follow suit. What Strabo actually says is, and now indeed Seleucia has become greater than Babylon, which for the most part has become deserted. Strabo never said that Babylon had become totally deserted, because people say Peter couldn't have gone to Babylon. It was totally deserted based on Strabo, but Strabo never said it was totally deserted. He said most of the city was deserted. Some Jews were there. And by the time Peter goes on his voyage after AD 25, probably about, 40 years or so later, the population regrew. There were Jews living in Babylon. Josephus tells us this. By the way, when Peter opens his book, what does he mention here? Geography. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Are those literal places? They're actual. They're not codes for anything. So his geography at the beginning of the book is literal. So why in the world would I take his geography at the end of the book as allegorical? You say, well, who cares? This is a big deal because 1 Peter 5 verse 13 is the tool that people use to allegorize away Babylon in the end times. Robert Thomas says another clear distinction of literal interpretation is its avoidance of assumptions not justified in the text. Theories that Babylon in Revelation is a code for Rome have become widespread. You start making Babylon a code for Rome and you're no longer following literal interpretation. Henry Morris, I like what he says. At the very least, it would have been very confusing to John's first century readers as well as to later generations for him to write so much about Babylon when he really meant Rome. Paul was not afraid to speak directly against Babylon in his writings, so why should John be? Or the false church? All the apostles, including John, wrote plainly and scathingly about false teachers and false doctrines in the church and would not hide their teachings by symbols. It must be stressed that revelation means unveiling and not veiling. In the absence of any statement in the text to the contrary, therefore, we must assume that the term Babylon applies to the real city of Babylon. People say, well, the apostles were afraid to use the word Rome, so they disguised it with the word Babylon. Is that what the apostles do? Isn't there a book in the Bible called the Book of Romans? Doesn't sound like Paul is afraid to use the word Rome at all. Other people say, well, this is just revived Rome in the end times. Of course, Daniel's prophecies do talk about some kind of revived Rome in the end times. But I want you to see in Revelation 17, there's not one image, there's what? Two. There's the beast with seven horns, but there's also the woman on the beast named Babylon the Great. And how the two interact is what the mystery is all about. Many, many people argue that there are two Babylons. There's religious Babylon, destroyed at the beginning of the tribulation period, followed by literal Babylon, which is destroyed at the end of the tribulation period. I don't think that's happening at all. I think Revelation 17 and 18 is describing the destruction of the same city at the same time. Both chapters call Babylon by the same name, call her a city, describe her clothing the same way. Both describe her as holding a cup, fornicating with kings, drinking wine of immorality, persecuting believers. Both chapters indicate that Babylon is destroyed by fire and destroyed by God. It's just 17 adds a little detail that God is going to use the beast to help bring down Babylon. But it's the same destruction. This is a outworking, if you will, an expansion, if you will, of the seventh bowl judgment. It's not describing two destructions, it's describing a single destruction of Babylon consistent with bowl seven. It's a break in the action, giving us this information. That's why chapter 17, verse 1 says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke to me, saying, 'Come here and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters.'" Now that Babylon has fallen in bowl 7, now that same angel says, let's have a parenthetical lunch break, John, and let's expand on what has just taken place. So what am I trying to get at? All of these theories that people come up with to explain away literal Babylon, I don't think any of them really work. I think it's best to take Revelation 17 and 18 as the literal city of Babylon on the Euphrates River destroyed directly by God.